It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And another weekend is calling us after today. Gee, the week went by lightning fast. And it seems to be the way that we're continuing for the year. And today is February the 2nd, a Friday. And coming up this morning, once again, and for the second time in 2024, we are talking mortgages, something that many of us cannot escape. As we said the other day, high numbers of millennials are choosing life experiences over commitments to a 25 to 30 year traditional mortgage. But if you're married with young children, this really isn't so much an option. But if you are a single digital nomad that is living for one new experience after another, you can probably afford to look at this. To hell with the mortgage, many are saying. Which is right and which is wrong? Well, I'm probably in the camp where I would say neither one of them is wrong. They are both right. It just depends on your viewpoint. And as I said, you only have one life, and the most valuable commodity these days is time, without a doubt. And Anthony Landau, the Managing Director of Equilibria Finance, is back for your 2024 year. And good morning, Anthony. Welcome back to the Real Estate Breakfast. Whereabouts are you?
Good morning, Craig. Great to be here. Well, I've got an extended long weekend, so I'm actually coming courtesy of Elon Musk's Starlink from the snowy plains down in the snowy mountains of New South Wales. So just an annual camping trip, been a fantastic time, finishing up at the end of the week. So yeah, I'm coming to you live from the snowy mountains today.
Oh man, well the quality's great, so thank you Elon for that. Camping, so probably not for me, too many creepy crawly things around, so they obviously don't bother you.
Yeah, we've had a good time, we do it each year, and plenty of wildlife, always good fun, nice to walk amongst the mountains and get out of the city for a week or so.
Yeah, well, it's the right time to do it, isn't it? At this time of the year, as opposed to when there's too much snow around.
Yeah, it's a lovely time. It's a good dry heat, not too hot, no humidity. So fantastic time. And yeah, as you say, well away from the snow season.
Now, I just want to go back to what I was just saying at the top, digital nomads versus mortgage commitment. Now, you deal with these first home buyers all the time, but this was borne out just a few days back. I was talking about it, and the numbers are definitely showing that there's huge amounts of millennials just deciding not to get a mortgage.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we've seen a fair bit of talk about this from a demographic perspective, that there has been a shift in maybe people marrying later, maybe first home buyers being later down in their life cycle. A lot of millennials maybe living at home or not putting down their roots anywhere specifically, and essentially, as you say, enjoying life. And it's reflected in maybe how they approach their work, where they're looking to find a job that might be more itinerant, that they can do from anywhere, as distinct from the traditional way of going to the city, working at a firm for 15, 20 years. And I think that is reflected in their approach to whether it's property or shares or other investments and how they're looking at that. So yeah, we have seen a shift even tacitly around maybe the age of people entering the market, and also maybe some of those married couples, maybe a little bit older than traditionally in their early 20s when we were all growing up.
Yeah, no, it's definitely changed, that is for sure. And that is Anthony. He is in the snowy mountains. We'll come back to him in just a moment.
From interest rates rising, a shifting landscape, rentals running hot, clearance rates, a tight rental market, we cover it all every morning from 6 a.m. on the Real Estate Breakfast.
Well, national house prices are set to maintain an upward trajectory. What is fueling this? Well, it's renters and the amount of migrants that are entering Australia at the moment. Of course, they're very eager to become homeowners, along with, of course, buyers anticipating interest rate cuts later in the year. If we have a look at some CoreLogic data this morning, that is telling us nearly 0.5% monthly increase in January and an 8.7% annual surge. Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane are leading the gains, while Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra and Hobart are seeing marginal changes. What is happening in the rental space? Well, rents experienced their strongest monthly rise since April, with Sydney's median home price now at $1.12 million. Brisbane stands at almost $797,000 and Melbourne at just over $777,000. So buyers are definitely trying to get ahead of anticipated rate cuts later in this year, which of course is going to bring us into a much different landscape for 2024.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
And it is a Real Estate Friday. Now, around 2.2 million households, which is constituting about 20% of Australian homes, owns an investment property. Now, that's approximately around 30% of the nation's 11 million private residential dwellings are classified as property investments. But here's a question for you this morning. Does buying an investment property still stack up in Australia, and how do you go about it? Well, back with me from the snowy mountains is Anthony Landau, the Managing Director and Mortgage Broker from Equilibria Finance. So, Anthony, how does buying an investment property stack up, or does it still stack up in Australia?
Yeah, really good question. And it's an interesting question in the context of the last 12 or 18 months, where we've seen effectively a lot of property investors flee the market. There's an old saying, and I'll use it now, it's about time in the market as distinct from timing the market. Now, getting into the market at the right time is important, but a lot of it's around the longevity in the market. So I think if we look at the fundamentals of property investment in Australia around capital growth, which over the last 20 years from 1993 to 2023 has averaged around 7.3%. So if you compare that to other asset classes, whether you got your money sitting in cash, shares, cryptocurrency, it's about 7.3 over 20 years. Rental yields have been at record highs. So if you look at a long-term view, yeah, I think the fundamentals of property investment still do stack up in Australia as a very common asset class. And as you said, 2.2 million mums and dads own an investment property, which speaks for itself to a certain extent.
Yeah, and as we know, there will be first-time buyers, first-time investors that will be listening to you, and they'll be saying, well, how do I go about buying an investment property? So perhaps just step over some of the terminology, like gearing and leveraging, equity, all that sort of stuff, as a bit of a starting point for those first-time investors.
Yeah, for a lot of first-time investors, it's about understanding, finding the right property. It's not an emotional decision. It is viewed as an investment. Do the core fundamentals of that area, capital growth, rental yields, cash flow is absolutely critical. A lot of first-time investors we find don't understand the cash flow concept around what it's going to cost you to hold the property. Is the property going to be cash flow positive, where, for example, your rent exceeds the costs of holding the property? Or is it in fact going to be cash flow negative, where the costs of holding the property are more than the income coming in? And in that sort of case, that's called negative gearing, and you get a tax benefit of that. So we talk about leverage, we talk about using equity. What that means is if you've got an existing home, there might be some equity that you can use, borrow against that existing home to actually leverage into the market to buy an investment. And as I touched on before, you've got what's called gearing strategies. A lot of people say, hey, I want to negatively gear an investment property. But when you actually do the numbers, you find that it's actually positively geared, where the cash flow or the income is greater than the cost. So it's really important to understand how you can get in the market, the cash flow required for the market, and what sort of strategy you're looking for. Cash flow positive, what's it going to cost to actually hold the property?
And of course, these first time investors, they really sort of try to distinguish between other asset classes, like what are the benefits by owning an investment property? And there are many, right? Plenty of varying degrees of the difference between other asset classes.
Yeah, look, as people build their wealth accumulation strategy, they're starting to think about, hey, do I put my money in cash? Do I put it in cryptocurrency or startups? Do I look at putting my money in property or shares? It's always a bit of a head-to-head debate. Do we go Aussie shares or property? And there's a number of benefits, I guess, around property. One of them is that over time, property tends to be less volatile than the stock market. So what that means is if you look at the stock market, you might see quite a bit of volatility. But again, that levels out over time. It might be for an investor, it's more a tangible asset that they can go and look at, understand the market than investing in a stock market or investing in a parcel of shares that might be done in companies they don't really have a lot to know about. Property can often be easier to access as well through borrowing. So you can use leverage, you can access funds through the bank to actually borrow. So it can be easier and cheaper to access and borrow money. So there are a lot of benefits of property. You've got a physical asset, it's less volatile, you've got your capital growth and you've got your income. I guess the cons or the things to look out for is cash flow. What's it going to cost to hold the property? Understanding the impact of interest rates, vacancy rates, understanding it may not always be tenanted, and property can go down. So really making sure you understand and do your research on the right areas to buy into.
And just before I let you go and let you get back to the family there in the snowy mountains, what about investors for 2024? How do you think that is going to play out for investors?
So bringing it back to the here and now, I think investors are going to start coming back into the market. We've seen the worst of the interest rate rises over. The inflationary data came out yesterday in Australia, which was quite positive around where we're heading. So I think there's a positive outlook. Look, that volatility's come out of the interest rates, out of the market. Investors have shifted their approach. They've done their cash flow analysis. I think now they're just waiting for the right opportunity. Stock is still low. Supply has been an issue. So finding an investable asset is still, I guess, the challenge. But I think investors are positioned. They're ready to go. I guess they're now just waiting for the right asset. So still a little bit cautionary, but I think we'll see definitely a lift in investor activity in 2024.
All right. Well, good on you, Anthony. I'll let you get back to the family, back to the relaxation. Enjoy the rest of the days for your extended break and look forward to catching you back when you're in Sydney.
Sounds like a plan, Craig, and look forward to being back on next time.
Remember, we're not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
Ashley, Sydney and Melbourne have come out in your report much friendlier for buyers entering the market, while Brisbane and the Gold Coast less favourable.
Yes, and I know that this can be very surprising to quite a lot of people, but what we're talking about here is that in Sydney and Melbourne, they are the capital cities that has been hit the most when it comes to higher cash rate. Overall, as an average, their property market is the one that has seen a declining trend. And because of that, we actually saw a lot more suburbs in Sydney and in Melbourne that has had a softening in price.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.